This morning's scripture is from Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let us pray. Lord God, help us turn our hearts to you and hear what you have spoken. For you speak peace to your people. May your word be a light unto our feet and a light unto our path. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
On Sunday mornings, we were thinking together about changing the scorecard. It's not about numbers, it's about relationships. And in building those relationships, and what does that look like? As we think together about that, I believe that the essence of spiritual maturity is loving well. Loving each other well. And so far we've seen that that means encouraging each other, being encouragers, coming alongside, really being cheerleaders for one another in our life of faith as we go on that journey together, to come alongside others, to lift them up, to support. Last week we saw that this loving well means to humbly serve, as we saw Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, and that we are called to wash feet of people as well, not maybe literally, but what does it mean to humbly serve others? And today we come to the place of moving towards somebody's pain. Next week we're going to look at what joy and laughter is in our midst. We're also going to look together after that about what it means to be a trustworthy person. Can we trust each other? And then last, if there are differences among us, how can we together resolve those differences in a healthy way that brings strength to the body and doesn't tear the body apart? But today we're going to think about moving towards somebody's pain. And I think one of the best examples of what that looks like is in the account of Scripture that Duane just read for us this morning and that Dawn talked about in the children's message, what we know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. We see in the account that's given to us in the Gospel according to Luke that one day, it says, an expert in the law, we're going to call him a lawyer, comes to Jesus to test him. They're constantly testing Jesus. They're wanting to catch Jesus saying something or doing something where they can say, "Gotcha." And so here comes this lawyer so that he can say, gotcha, to Jesus, and asks him a question. And he says to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now that is a great question. Now sometimes you hear that in town hall meetings or something like that, or somebody's being interviewed and somebody says, well, that's a great question. This was a great question. It's an important question. I mean, I want to know. Don't you? How do we inherit eternal life? I want to know. Now, the motive wasn't right. The motive was to try to catch him, to test him. But the question was really good, because it's an important question. And so Jesus, in response to that, and Jesus aware of what's going on, that there's probably a test here, that it's kind of that gotcha moment, he responds and he asks his question. Instead of answering it, he asks another question. And I think sometimes we can find that irritating, don't we? When somebody asks, you ask somebody a question and they ask you a question in return, like, I just want an answer. And so, but here, Jesus asks another question. He says, well, what does the law say? You're an expert in the law. So tell me, what does the law say about how to inherit eternal life? And he says, well, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus goes, got it. Good job. That's it. Right there. Love God perfectly with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor perfectly. That's it. Do that, and you'll live. But you know, in those moments, I think the lawyer is running through his head, you know, I haven't done that perfectly. I haven't loved God perfectly. I haven't loved my neighbor perfectly. And then it looks like here, I knew the answer to the question that I asked. And that looks like I'm being arrogant. So then I got to justify myself some way here. And so he asks another question. Who's my neighbor? So instead of really digging down deep inside himself, really digging down deep inside ourselves, and thinking about the fact that we don't love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, instead of sinking down into that and asking Jesus, what must I then do to be saved? How can I be saved? Because I don't do this. He wants to quibble. He wants to quibble about words, and so he says, who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? And so there's a story with inside the story. And Jesus tells the story about a man, presumably a Jew, that was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And in that day, that was a rough place to be. A lot of hills, a lot of crags in the rocks, and places to hide. And it wasn't uncommon that somebody was attacked along there. And so this man, a Jew, is going down, and he's attacked. He's robbed. He's beaten. He's stripped, it says, and left half dead along the side of the road, clinging to life. Well, the first person to come along, Jesus says, is the priest. Now, a priest is a religious worker. The priest is the one that works in the temple. He offers sacrifices to God. The priest is the one who is the holy man in that day. He is the one who comes to God for the people, and he's well respected. And he sees the man, it says. He sees the man. He saw him. It's not that he didn't see him. He saw him. And he walked by on the other side. Now, it could have been that he was on the way to the temple to perform religious duties and sacrifices. And the law says that if you touch a dead body, you're unclean and you can't do that for a certain amount of days. And maybe he thought his job of doing that was more important than helping this person along the side of the road. Or maybe, you know, it doesn't say in the law anywhere that if I'm walking down the road and I see a man half dead along the side of the road, that I am to stop and to care for him. It didn't say anything about that in the law, so I'm free. It didn't say anything about that in the law, so I'm not breaking the law by not stopping. Who knows what's going through his head? But he doesn't stop. He passes by and goes on the other side. Then comes a Levite. A Levite is a temple worker. He's the one that takes care of the temple. He's kind of a janitor on steroids. Does a lot more than just clean. I mean, they managed, they maintained, they did all kinds of things in the life of the temple. And so this Levite, who's also a religious worker, comes alongside, sees the man laying there, but he too walks by on the other side. I mean, that dust in the temple has to be taken care of. This man lying there half dead is not near as important as cleaning up the temple. And so he walks by as well. And he leaves the man laying there. I think one thing is clear, people of God. That if our faith in Jesus Christ, if our religion or whatever it is that our belief system is, leads us to pass by on the other side when somebody's laying alongside the road half dead, is not about Jesus Christ. It's not faith in Jesus Christ. It's not what Jesus Christ was about. And if we are called to follow Him and surrender our lives to Him daily, we can't walk by on the other side. We can't do that. When we've gone through this process of thinking about who it is, who we are, and what do we desire to be, we desire to serve all people in the name of Jesus. That's who we say we are. We can't move away from somebody's pain because we might get dirty. Or we might hear things we don't want to hear. We can't do that. Jesus then continues the story, and he says, there's a Samaritan that comes along. And wow, in that day, when Jesus said those words, you could just about, oh, a Samaritan? A Samaritan was a half-breed. A Samaritan was looked down upon because they were not pure 100% Jewish. You see, 750 years before the time of Christ, Assyria attacked the northern kingdom where Samaria was. And in that attack, they destroyed and wiped out that area, deported most of the people, took them away as captives. But some of the Jewish people stayed behind. Well, through time, they began to intermarry. And children were born that were half Assyrian and half Jewish. And these are Samaritans. And Samaritans were despised by Jews. So Jesus says, a Samaritan comes along. And he sees the man. And he not only sees the man, but he gets down off his donkey and he comes and he cares for him. He bandages his wounds. He pours on oil and wine. Oil was a healing agent and wine is a disinfectant. He pours on oil and wine and he cares for him. And he takes the man, puts him on his donkey, and he takes him to an inn and stays with the man and gives the innkeeper 2 denarii, which is really 2 days' wages. You figure out what your wages are for 2 days, and he gives that to the man. And he says, I have to go away for a little bit, but I'm going to come back through. When I come back through, if there's other expenses, I'll take care of it then. Wow. A Samaritan. Not the religious people. A Samaritan stops. You see, that Samaritan didn't didn't go by race or nationality, or he saw a human being created in God's image that was hurt and needed help. You know, the challenge for that in us, for us, is that can we see a person of different nationality in that light? Whether it's Asian or Middle East or Russian. Do we see them as people created in the image of God, that if they're hurting and in pain, stop? Do we see the ones from different places than we are, even in the United States or the world, or even from Sioux Center? I mean, if we see one of them alongside the road, do we stop? The Muslim, the atheist. The Samaritan didn't see that. He saw a human being made in God's image who's hurting. And he stopped. And that's the challenge for us, to see that. Every human being made in the image of God. And we move towards their pain. Another thing we notice, that he did sacrifice. He sacrificed time. He sacrificed money. He sacrificed just being with that person. You know, this morning we talk about organists, and you know, they sacrifice. There's time involved. Anything that's worth doing is going to involve sacrifice. It's going to involve time. It's going to involve money most of the time. It's going to involve giving of ourselves. And he did that. Jesus is calling us to do more than sit at home and watch TV. He's calling us to do more than just go to sporting events or just have pleasure and leisure. He's calling us to do more than that. In fact, on the way to those things, if we come across somebody hurting, we have to move, Jesus says, towards their pain. Towards their pain. And Jesus then asks a question. He says, who do you think was a neighbor to that man? And notice, the lawyer can't even say the word Samaritan. He so despises Samaritan. He says, well, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Where's Jesus speaking into your heart now? What's he saying to you in the words, go and do likewise? Maybe there's a person that's lost a loved one. And you know them. And you move towards their pain, not away from it. You don't pass by on the other side. Maybe there's someone that you know that might be dying of cancer. Don't avoid them. Move towards their pain. Come alongside. Maybe you're riding on an elevator in the hospital, and the person in the elevator, the only one in there, is crying. What do you do? Pretend you don't notice? Or do you reach out and say, look, it looks like there's some hard things happening in your life? Or the person that's ready to jump off the bridge and take their life. The person that talks to you, and you can feel the depression and the hurt and the pain. Or the teenager who's struggling, who might be acting out but is just wanting attention and love. Where do you hear the words, go and do likewise? How is God speaking into your life right now? to say to you, don't walk by on the other side. See the people. See them as people created in the image of God. You know, the ultimate Good Samaritan, in closing, is Jesus. Is Jesus. Because you see, we cannot love God as we're supposed to. We cannot love each other as we're supposed to. We cannot do it perfectly. We fail miserably at times. And yet, God doesn't give up on us. God sends His only Son who comes down to earth. He sees us in misery. He sees us in sin and guilt and pain. He sees us and acts by sending His Son, Jesus. And Jesus comes down to us to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring forgiveness and peace. And He sacrifices for us. He gives His own life. He gives His own life to bring healing and hope to us. You see, Jesus loved God perfectly. Jesus loved others perfectly. And this perfect one went to the cross and died there for imperfect people, that we might be made perfect in His love and grace. And all that He asks us to do is to trust Him. And you say, well, it's hard for me to even understand that kind of love. I know it's hard to understand it. It's hard to understand a love that gives and gives and gives and dies for us that we might have life. It's hard to understand it, but that's the truth of what we're told in God's Word, that this is the way it is. And when you experience that in your heart, when you've known the love of the Good Samaritan, the best Samaritan, Jesus, when you've known that love in your life, it shapes you and you love in return. And so you hear the words, as you have been loved, now go and do likewise. Move towards somebody's pain. At the end of each day of our lives, just think, did I move towards somebody's pain today, or did I just pass by on the other side? Sometimes we do it, and that hurts when we think about it, and we want to be different. We want to move towards people's pain. We don't want to pass by on the other side. And Jesus said, there's a new day tomorrow. Move towards their pain. So that at the end of your day, at the end of your life, people will say about you, my life is better because you were in it. Because you were in it. That's the hope of our heart.